buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
If you're near Cincinnati, start making plans to come see me at the Cincy Preparedness Expo at the Sharonville Convention Center on October 15th and 16th. Besides all of the fantastic prepper gear available, it's a great place to learn vital survival skills. And make sure you stop by the Prepper Recon booth to say hi. Check out CincyPreparednessExpo.com for tickets and information. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PrepperRecon for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Enjoy the show. We had a really crazy summer. We had the BLM protests. We had terrorist attacks, police shootings. Do you think all of that served as a wake-up call to the fragility of our society? Have you seen an increase from people interested in getting more prepared since these events?
Yes, actually we have. It has been a crazy summer. And, you know, for all the victims, whether they're the policemen, which that just totally blows my mind. Why are we trying to kill the people who are actually trying to protect us? Okay, it's crazy, all the terrorist attacks, all this stuff going on. But more people are coming out, and they're coming out scared. And unfortunately, when a person comes out scared and they don't know what to do, they start buying all kinds of crazy stuff. And so one event I did that I was just at, people came that way, you know, because all this stuff, in fact, at one of the events, was when one of the mass police shootings had taken place. And so everybody was talking about it, and people had come out, and they were fearful buying. And so they were, I mean, guns and bullets, that's what they were buying. And I'm like, please, let me talk to you. Let's talk through this. No, I got to have guns and bullets. I just got to have guns and bullets. And I said, well, your guns and bullets won't save your life in a long term. I said, are you just trying to get something to protect yourself, or are you trying to prepare? Okay, and that makes a big difference. And that's why now is the time to prepare when things are calm. But I will say, you know, my daughter and I, at one of the events we were at, we were staying in a nice area. And we had stopped. My daughter was hungry, so we swung into a McDonald's quick. And we got into the McDonald's, and I sat there going, even though we're in a nice location, this is not good. And I sat there watching everybody walking into the door. It was the slowest McDonald's we have ever in our life been to. It took 30 minutes to get my daughter's order. And I'm looking going, okay, who's packing? Okay, who's got weapons on them and stuff? And I'm sitting there paying attention to all this. And when we walked, my daughter and I walked out of there, I said, we are never going back to that one while we were here, ever. And my daughter said, no, Mom, I don't want to go back there. An hour and a half later, that McDonald's was held up at gunpoint. Okay, you don't know where you're going to be when something like that happens. You know, I've had all kinds of training. And yet I sat there going, okay, red flags everywhere. But if we're in a panic, if we are stressing out big time, that's the worst time to go out and start buying stuff. That's why I tell people, make your game plan first. And then you, once you have your game plan, you can organize everything else you're going to, what do you need, prioritize it. You know, you go out and you're not doing panic buying. You're doing a well-thought-out game plan purchasing. Okay, because people spend tons of money. So at the one event where people had come in with the zombie apocalypse attitude, going, oh my gosh, gotta have, they actually, I was doing a later in the afternoon training, and people came and they listened to my class, and they were like, I wish you would have been the first person that we listened to, because we would not have purchased the things that we did if we had heard you first. And I just looked at them and I said, I'm so sorry. I said, if you want, I can go over and we can look at what you've purchased. And they said, well, you already mentioned some of the stuff we purchased and it's not good. And I said, well, here's what you can still do with that. I said, okay, but here's what you still need, okay? And, you know, and I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for people like that when they're just in such a panic mode. And it is getting crazy out there, and you don't know. I mean, the fact, terrorist attack could happen anytime. It could happen while we're on the telephone talking. I mean, an earthquake could happen while we're talking on the phone. Anything could go on that we're not anticipating. And I guess the question for the listener would be, if something crazy like that happened, if a terrorist attack happened, or let's just say an earthquake happened in your area, would that throw you into panic purchase? Okay, would that throw you into a panic response? Or will that activate a game plan that will get you going to be able to have the best outcome of survival you have? Okay, if it's going to throw you into any kind of panic, then you are not really prepared, and you need to really get serious and work on that game plan to get it to where you're not going to panic. Start systematically going through and getting things accomplished calmly, not panic mode.
Yeah, when the event happens, it's too late to start it trying is. To accumulate the stuff and to try to accumulate the skills. You need to get your stuff and your skills now while you can, and you just have to budget your time to learn those skills, and you have to budget your money to get the stuff. And you don't have to be rich to do this. And I have people all the time write me and tell me that, you know, they love my books, but they're not in a position to prep like the people in the books. And a lot of the people in my books are stocking up food with coupons, because that's how me and my wife started out. We lived in a 600 square foot apartment. We had very, very little room. We put our bed up on concrete blocks because we made a priority out of finding a place to put some extra supplies. And then we didn't really have much of a budget for prepping. So she started getting into couponing and seeing, what can I do with our regular monthly food budget and with coupons and sales when I see stuff like, you know, the grocery store's got buy one, get one free on pasta this week. So, and I've got a manufacturer coupon and a store coupon for the pasta. Will they take a manufacturer coupon and a store coupon on the buy one and the free one, and I can actually get free pasta? And so she found out that there's things like pasta that she can do that with. So when that comes on sale, she'll get 6 months to a year's worth of pasta for almost free.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next week, maybe it'll be pasta sauce. And the next week, maybe it'll be crackers. And the next week, maybe it'll be Cheerios. And so you don't do it all at once. And we spent no extra money over our standard grocery budget and built up a 6 month food supply and stuck it all underneath our bed and slept up on an elevated bed that's jacked up on concrete blocks, because our priority wasn't having a bed that looks like everybody else. It was being prepared. Unlike everybody else.
Do you know what I have to say? That's so funny that you put yours up on cement blocks, because what we did the exact same thing, but not with cement blocks. We actually found dressers, and we paid $10 for all these dressers, and we put the dressers under, we put them under the bed, so it gave us space under the bed, and dresser drawers that came out from under the bed, so that we had all kinds of space under our bed, and it worked beautifully. And it's still that way. I mean, we still have our bed elevated up like that. And also, to address the people, and that falls into another category why people don't prepare, is they say they don't have the money to. And I tell people, I can take somebody on a fixed budget and show them how they can go ahead and get prepared. A lot of people already have a lot of the stuff they need. They just don't have it organized. There's also rummage sales. We had, there were certain things that we were looking for, and, you know, we're a praying family. So we prayed before we were going out, to all these different rummage sales that were going to be out in town. And we said, we took our list and we said, God, we have all of this that we still need to get. And this is how much money we had, $20, okay, $20. And we said, this is what we need to get. you know, thank you for helping us to find this. Do you know, we got, praise God, we got everything on our list. We spent the $20. We didn't go over. We got a brand new $90 backpack for my daughter, never used. We got, somebody had some brand new solar flashlights, and they were really good ones. They did, had no idea what they had. So we bought them brand new in the package. That, you know, somebody must have given it to them for a Christmas gift. They thought it was a crazy idea. They were never going to need it, and they put it out at the rummage sale. We had a whole, you know, a bunch of things, but all under $20 for all of it. Okay, and we're just like rejoicing. But we do, I tell people, go hit those rummages. Learn, practice your skill of bartering. You know, no rummage sale prices are usually set in stone. So, you know, there are things we have walked up to that we needed, and, I just look at them and go, you know what? On the price, yes. Okay, well, are you willing to take this price for it? And they're going to say yes or no, and they'll counter. But bartering is a skill, and you better learn how to do that now before you have to be able to barter, because it's not as simple as a lot of people think. A lot of people have hang-ups about doing that, and you need to, but you need to learn how to establish what is fair value. You know, how do you work at negotiating? And you can get some fabulous deals. Just make sure if you're buying something from a rummage sale, you test it. Okay, make sure that it works before you buy it. I had one of my team members purchased a propane stove from a rummage sale. They were selling there, so they bought it, and we're videotaping living off the land. And which is not out yet, so we're still working on that one, but we're videotaping it. Unfortunately, the person who purchased it did not test it. So here I am, and they're recording, and I'm lighting this thing. I did not know that this is the first time this stove has been lit since it was purchased, and it blew up on me. You want to talk about people who are like, oh, my goodness. Okay. So, you know, try them out and make sure they work before you need them. Be very careful when you're buying something that's propane, because you don't know the condition that it is in. Now, the person who gave it to me, I assumed that they knew better. They should have tried it out. They did not. And so the first time it gets tried is when we were filming. And, praise God, I was not, my hands were very hot. They were not burned. And, so that all worked out beautifully. But it is something I tell people, if you're buying from rummage sale, you can get phenomenal deals. A lot of times you can get them brand new. But if it's, if it's a used item, even if it's a new item, take them out, try them out, make sure it all works. But it's not about having millions of dollars. It is about budgeting. It is about planning. It is about, my neighbor, she knows what I do. And so she'll go, well, if you ever need anything, let me know what you're looking for. And then she shows up my door with stuff. Okay. Which is beautiful. You know, put it out and go to, talk to people and go, hey, I'm looking for this. If you know anybody who has one who wants to sell it, tell them I don't have a lot of money. If they're wanting to just get rid of it, I'm more than happy to take it. If they want some money for it, let me know what they want. And that way you're not having to spend full amount. But there's so many ways to get your food inexpensively. Like, you and your wife, we did the same thing. We started out that way too, and then started saving up the money and started getting our freeze-dried food. As we started getting extra income, then that's what we invested into with some food and then other supplies that were on our list and stuff. But there are ways to do it. That should not be used as an excuse. And people use it, I think, as an excuse to go, see, I can't. I can't prepare because I don't have the money to. And I would be able to look at their situation and go, well, let me show you how you can do it. And I can't, did I talk to you about the one man? I don't think so. I had one guy stand up in my class And he lives in an inner city area in a high rise, the most exclusive high rise apartment complex. And my topic had been about how you can't stay in the city. Okay, I mean, if you're really trying to make a viable game plan, trying to hunker down and stay in the city is not a good game plan. Okay, so you need to have a place to bug out to. And this man stood up and he said, I don't have money for property. He goes, you know, I live in the most exclusive high-rise apartment complex in the city, and, you know, and I have, I love the nightlife, and I don't want to move away from the city because then I don't have all the nightlife, and I like going out to the diner or to these nightclubs and to the restaurants and to the theater. And so he's listing off everything he wants. I'm sitting there going, oh, cha-ching, 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 right? And he said, so I have no options. Okay. I looked at him and I said, well, actually, you have a lot of options. Okay. I said, you really do have options. I said, move out of the exclusive high-rise, high-rent apartment that you're in and buy yourself some land, get a trailer, and put the trailer on while you're saving up your money for a house, okay? He looked at me, he's like, I am not going to sell, I'm not moving out of my high-rise apartment. I love my apartment. It's an exclusive apartment. He goes, and I'm not giving up my nightlife. And I looked at him, I said, well, then you've made your choice.
Yeah, it's the cyanide choosing. Pills. They're like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they still sell those or if you can still get those, but, you know, something that would be akin to a cyanide pill that just when the balloon goes up, you just bite down and say goodnight because that's because you're you're not willing to adjust your priorities.
Well, and that's exactly it. And that's what your listeners and hopefully they're not in that mindset. But, you know, if they are or if they think there's something that's not attainable for them, you have to look and go, well, why isn't it? What do you have to do? What do you have to change so that it becomes attainable for you? Does that mean you have to take on a second job? Does it mean that you have to maybe not go out to eat? Okay, maybe don't go to the theater. What is it that you have to change in order to achieve, whether it's going to a training class that's going to cost you a few hundred dollars or, you know, say you want another tool for in your kits. What is it? And what changes are you willing to make? And that man has, you know, lots of options. He's choosing to have none. But that doesn't make it real. I mean, the fact that he's choosing doesn't mean that it's not, you know, in his mind, he has no choice. I mean, he does have a choice. He just doesn't like his choice. And therefore, he uses it as an excuse that he doesn't have one. And so I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is don't make excuses that you don't have money or that you don't, there's no way you can get that skill. There's no way you can learn how to. I hear people go all the time and go, well, I'm just not smart enough. Well, no, okay. You know what? If you took a poll of most people will tell you they're not smart enough. Don't use that. Don't let that hinder you. You work hard. If that means, you know, some people in the training class only have to do 5 hours, but it takes you 15 hours to get it, then do the 15 hours. You practice every single night so that you get that skill down. But don't make up excuses. Because when the disaster happens, you know, no excuse is going to get you out of the situation. But skills and supplies will. So do what you have to do to get what you need and learn now so that you don't become a victim.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
I said that kind of tongue-in-cheek about the cyanide pills, but honestly, if your plan is to just give up and you're planning to do nothing, and you're just, and there's, I've heard this from people. Oh, well, if that happens, I'll just die. But
yes,
you need a plan, you know, because you don't, the starving to death or dying of dehydration is going to be a very long, drawn out, agonizing death. So if your plan is to give up, then you need to have some kind of a plan besides just starving to death and dying of dehydration, because that's going to be a very slow, painful death.
Yeah. You know, I just tell people, I'm like, you know, that's, it's such a cop out to just sit there and go, oh, you know what, I'm just going to die. Well, why? Okay. Why do you have to just die? Do your children want you to just die? Does your spouse want you to just die? I mean, what, are you going to do a family pack and go, we're all just going to die together? I mean, really, seriously, yeah, the whole starving thing, but it goes even farther than that. You know, you'll have no water. You'll have no food. And what about all the violence? Are you ready for the terror that could come knocking at your door? You know, people think, oh, I'll just sit down and die. Well, how long before you die? What's going to happen in your life before you die? You know, when I was taking self-defense class and we were talking about if somebody were to try to get you into their car, are you going to, if they hold you at gunpoint and they are going to, they tell you to get into the car, are you going to get into the car? Well, my answer is, heck no. No, I'm not going to get into a car. I would rather be shot in the parking lot going down fighting than to get into a car where they're going to take me who knows where they're going to do who knows what, and what sort of torturous end they will put me through, okay, instead of fighting, okay, standing up and doing what I can and having a chance, you know, make enough noise, do what you can, fight, whatever. And it's the same situation here. You're just going to sit down and die. That death isn't going to come fast unless a building collapses on you. And then you still might not die. You might just be buried in the rubble alive, waiting and hoping somebody comes and saves you, before you run out of oxygen and you die. So, you know, people, you and I both hear that. You know, and we've talked about that and how people go, I'll just die. I'll just go ahead and die. But they don't realize really what they're saying. They've not really put any thought into that at all. And, you know, so if you meet people, for all your listeners, I'm assuming that's not their game plan because they're listening on how to get prepared. But if you know somebody who says that to you, confront them with that. You know, because when you start confronting people with that and going, yeah, really? Well, how do you plan on dying? Well, how long do you think it's going to take you to starve to death? How long do you think it's going to be? You know, what about all the gangs that are going to be coming through? You know, what if you become a victim of a gang because you've decided not to do anything? You know, and when you start running all those different scenarios that could happen, maybe it will change their mindset and they will start to do something. My goal is to get as many people preparing as possible, and it's going to take a lot of us working together to get people to change their mindset and start preparing, because the more of us who help others to get prepared, the better prepared we all will be and the better chance we all have. And so it shouldn't just be about you just getting your family prepared. It is. It's your responsibility and you need to do it. But then start talking. People are going to laugh at you. People are going to call you crazy and go, okay, well, let me just throw this scenario out at you. What will you do? I had a woman who called me the other day who did that exact same thing to her family. She has She tried to talk to him a couple years ago, and they wanted nothing to do with it. They thought she was crazy. And so she finally built up the nerve again to go to them. And this time she was more empowered because she spent time talking with me. And so she started throwing out questions to them when they are like, well, it's crazy. Nothing's going to happen. She's like, well, but what if this happens? And the one guy, the one man responded with, well, I have a gun and some bullets. I'll just shoot my way out. And she's like, but then what? What do you have for food? What do you have for water? Where are you going to go? What is your game plan? And he's like, well, I'll worry about it when the time comes. Well, okay. Well, maybe you should start thinking about it now, because then you'll be in panic mode and you can't function well in panic mode. So what kind of options do you think you would have? Well, he couldn't come up with any options. He's like, well, I don't have any options, I guess. And she's like, well, okay, so you're going to die? That's pretty much, because somebody, how many bullets do you have? What are you going to just keep shooting everybody until you run out of bullets? Well, okay, so you have a box of bullets. How many people? Do you even practice shooting? How good are you? Okay. But she got them thinking. Okay, she got them thinking, and they realized they needed to sit down and really start seriously talking about it. And think about it. If every one of your listeners even got, you know, one or two or five or 10 more people who say, no way, it's crazy, if they got them to start thinking, how much stronger they're going to be in their area, and how much stronger as a nation will be. And that's a goal. We got to unite, really, in all of this and work together. And that's, you know, I'm hoping that between the scenario type books that you write and the reality of what I've seen book that I'm writing, you know what, that people will start doing it more and more. And especially when somebody's now panicked, that for people who have started the journey, will grab on to those people who are panicking and go, you know what, wait, calm down. You don't need to panic. Let's talk. You know, let's look at the game plans. Let's get you going in the right direction. But don't stress and don't panic. Let's game plan, and I'll help you game plan. You know, think of how many more people will be prepared. So that's a challenge for everybody listening to this. Start sharing that. If you're not, start looking and listening to those conversations and praying for that open door that they will, that you'd be able to talk to them to start them on the journey of getting prepared. You know, it makes you stronger, makes, you know, your area safer.
And as we mentioned before, you're going to have copies of your books at the Cincinnati Preparedness Expo, October 15th and 16th. And that's at the Sharonville Expo Center. So it's not at the regular downtown Cincinnati Exposition Center. It's the Sharonville one, right, which is a little bit on the north side of town, which a lot of people that worry about apocalyptic events happening while they're away in a city, kind of like I do.
Yeah, people, I know, you have to think about it.
I breathe a lot easier knowing that it's not in downtown Cincinnati. It's actually sort of out on the northern suburb there of Cincinnati. And supposedly it's a very, very nice area. I'm looking forward to seeing you again, of course. I'm looking forward to getting to meet some more listeners. And you'll have copies of your book. Teaching classes. Also, what products are you going to have at your booth?
Oh, well, you know, I come with the Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, because one of the things that I have learned is that Americans cannot take care of themselves medically. And, you know, when you think about it, if you buy a medical bag, which is important, the traditional medical bag's important. You want to have traditional things, you know, if somebody, you know, cuts themselves or whatever, you need to have that. But most of the things that we see in the disaster area is not, you know, the broken bones. It's infections. It is illnesses. And, you know, you have to be able to take care of yourself from that standpoint. So, you know, people aren't going to be able to buy all that stuff. So you need to know about your alternatives. And so I teach on homeopathy. I teach on all the different other alternatives as well. But the Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit is homeopathy. Homeopathy is the second largest form of health care in the world, according to the World Health Organization. So it's just not here in the United States. So we're trying to get more and more people educated on that. So I have that, and we bring out our Just in Case. We all have the books. We have all different kinds of skill type, you know, skills that we know you need, kits that we've put together so you can learn certain skills. We try to bring things that we use in disaster areas, things that we know you need or skills that you need to have. It's pretty much what we go ahead and we sell. But I have to put this plug out there, too. I know that my book will be on Amazon. It'll also be where you'll be able to download it on the Nook and your iPad and different things like that as well, too. So, but I am looking forward to you, to seeing you and your wife. Is your wife coming?
Yes, of course.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So
wouldn't be able to fight my way back home without her.
Okay. Well, it'll be like a little family reunion. That'll be fun.
Yes, absolutely. And so best place to get the book is going to be the expo, the second best. It'll be on Amazon and around. But now it's also going to be – I'm sure you'll have links to it on Trading Post in the Wood.
We'll probably be selling it, I think, directly. Now, what do I know? But I think we're going to be selling it directly from our website. You know, if they buy from my website or if they come to an event where I'm doing a book signing, which would be at these expos, I'll be able to autograph it for them if they want. But if they buy it on Amazon or something like that, well, the books aren't going to be autographed. So if they do buy one on Amazon and they come to an event and I happen to be there and they want it autographed, I'm more than happy to do that for them, you know, when they come. But I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's always a delight coming on here. And again, it's just great, all of your listeners who come and just say, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. You know, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody. You, Mark, I mean, it's been awesome being able to get on here and just share from, you know, the standpoint of I want to see people prepared. People choose to be a bit a victim when they don't have to be. And, you know, and I think sometimes they don't realize they're choosing to be the victim. And, you know, so hopefully with their listening to this, it's empowering them to not be one, to make the choices that they need to make now so that they won't be a victim and they can help others not be one as well. So thank you for what you're doing, because you're putting a lot of great info out there for them all. And I really just appreciate all that you're doing.
And that was,
you know, trying to get the word out.
And that was fantastic what you said about people, they can bring the book there and you'll autograph it there. And I want to put that out there as well. I did some of that in Atlanta. Folks that had read the paperback books, they bought them on Amazon or something, and they brought those to me. And I love signing those. I love getting to sign a well-worn, well-read copy that's already out there. So
I'm more than happy to do that. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I know that they read it. So thank you so much for all your great information that you've given us today. And thanks for making time for us today, Eve.
Well, thank you so much. You take care. And I look forward to seeing you in Cincy.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Bear thought they were prepared for anything, but can they survive a total collapse of the economic system? If they want to live through the crisis, they'll have to think fast and move quickly. In a world where all the rules have changed and savagery is law, those who hesitate pay with their lives. The Kindle edition of The Economic Collapse Chronicles is now available as a box set. Buy your copy at Amazon.com today.